Hello there and welcome to the first of two episodes of Four Times Our Podcast that you'll hear this weekend. Well, before Sunday anyway. Going to split these two episodes into one will be a match reaction to last night's game against Alkmaar, and then we'll release a separate episode for the Glasgow Derby preview. So we'll start with the first one. It finished in Alkmaar 2-1 to AZ. Celtic took the lead through Kyogo Furuhashi just 2 minutes on the clock when he scored, but not long after that Celtic had some calamitous defensive mistakes that had led to the Dutch side taking a 2-1 lead into half time. But through a mix of Alkmaar not being able to break Celtic down and just Celtic generally being a bit more defensively organised in the second half, I would say Celtic did advance through the tie. They went through 3-2, and that has seen them drawn in a Europa League group with Bayer Leverkusen, Real Betis and Ferencvaros. So we'll come on to the group itself after we've covered the game, Danny, but I'll start with you. It was a perfect start for Celtic last night, but then it soon reverted to Celtic away from home in Europe, and it was a nervy night.
It was a great start. You know, you couldn't have thought about better start at the all week when you're thinking how's the game going to go, because it's often said games at half time and that 2-0 is such a bit, 2-0 in a two leg tie is a precarious lead at times, and because all it takes is a goal and the tie's in the balance again. So to score early on was great, and with away goals it probably would have killed the tie. Without away goals there's always that, you know, hope for the other team. But I don't know, I was so angry at Celtic last night for 60 minutes. And I kept saying, I was going daft watching it at the telly. I kept saying to myself, I know Ange wants to do this and he wants to do that. But after 7 minutes, I couldn't believe what I was watching. I just thought, when you score so early, it's no anti-FIFA, it's no bad. You know, Michael Stewart was right. It's no bad players. It's no bad, a bad system. You don't even need to change your system. You don't even need to change your formation or whatever. Just fucking have some common sense and get your fit in the ball. But it's as if the one thing you don't do is let the team back in the game, and that's exactly, you know, it's just a hopeful punt up the park. Welsh gets caught, like Welsh kind of is getting away with it a wee bit because of Joe Hart's partnering, but if Welsh is more, I think Welsh's movement's very, very poor. I think after the ball, Welsh can be got at, and I think a couple of times last night they did get him, but he just looked completely lost. The ball hits him and then Hart's just got to come out and clear it. He's just got to come out and clear his lines. I don't know what he was doing. He just seemed to be waiting. I think maybe he thought the ball was coming quicker. I don't know, maybe just a lapse in concentration, but people seemed to throw the towel in my heart. I thought Joe Hart went on, he made at least 2 great saves in that game after it, but I don't know, I just felt like a mistake like that's been kind of bubbling with this Celtic team, because we're still learning how to play like that. But second goal's just bonkers. I mean, he's not even on Starfield, he's not even under any pressure. It's not even that good a cross in. It's like just another hopeful ball into an area and hoping that Celtic make a mistake or somebody gets on the end of it, and that's exactly what happened. And then I couldn't believe, like, do you know that way when you're playing and you're under heavy pressure and the team had a cross out of the park for a goal kick? And when you're at a game and when you're watching the telly, you can hear the collective sigh of relief for the fans, as if, right, we're going to get out. But then Hart's playing the ball 10 yards to Starfelt or Welsh, who look up and they've got 2 men coming at them. They're playing it to the fullback, who Montgomery, who I thought was brilliant. I thought he was great. Plenty big, plenty effort. Van der Veen, you know, brilliant. All the credit to him. But it's like he's looking up and he's got 3 men coming at him. So he gives it to McGregor, which is probably, you know, McGregor will down the line. Next thing you know, they've got a throw in 20 yards out for a goal. And it was rinse and repeat for 60 minutes. And I must admit, it was like Beersheva. I thought we were out at 2-1. I thought there was only one way this was going. And I was coming on here to go through Postecoglou for no having the common sense, just to no shut up shop and play defensive football, but just have a system or have people in there that can actually do something with it. But at half time, I was mad, Andy. I know you weren't the best pleased, but for 60 minutes, I'd agree with you. I think going forward into the group and into Sunday, it's all right, live by the sword, die by the sword, but you need to be good in different situations.
I think I agree with what you're saying. It's got to be horses for courses at times. And on the sort of the goal with Welsh and Hart, I completely agree with you, and I made that point to you earlier, that I feel that Welsh is slipping under the radar for his part in that there. I mean, as a defender, the ball's in the air, and I feel as if constantly we always let the ball bounce, and I'll never understand it. It's one of the first things sort of young boys learn in football. Do not let that fucking ball bounce in situations like that. And he's watching it, and it just hits after him. Like, either stick your head on it, put it back to the keeper, or fuck it out the park. Do something with it. Don't just do nothing and let the ball hit you. And that's exactly what he done. And then, of course, Joe Hart as well. He's been caught sleeping. I don't know, like you said, I don't know if he thought there was more pace on the ball. But again, that all comes with the ball being allowed to bounce. And I think, listen, Hart fully deserves the criticism for that goal. It was a terrible, terrible mistake. And you say you get punished for it, but Welsh just get away with it. And I think he shouldn't be void of the criticism for that either. But it was just, a lot of it for me last night was just sort of things being shown up for what we've all known. It's been great. Some of the attacking football we've been playing since Ange came in is phenomenal. And to get through that tie, in obviously such a short period of time, like if you'd have told us a few weeks back that with that 11 on the park, Ange would have got us through that tie against AZ Alkmaar, there'd been a lot of doubt around it. It's a very, very impressive thing that he's done. But last night showed for a lot of where the frailties and vulnerability is in that team. That the whole back four was rotten, to be honest with you. They were constantly getting got at. Too many times, no getting to the second ball. Too many times letting the ball bounce, flying into tackles. And just completely irrational at times in the way we were doing. It's like you say, just a calmer head, a more experienced head. And I mean, I know it's probably what Starfield and Hart should really be at the back there, just telling them to kill the game a wee bit. Times just get your foot in the ball and move the ball about. Whereas it was just like watching the game through your fingers almost. And I think a lot of that is just being lost. But again, it was a dream start, an absolute dream start. And it's not the first time we've seen it this season. It won't be the last, where it's a bad out wide with a ball across the goal to Furuhashi, who's tapped it in, which is brilliant. I mean, like you say, it's just at that moment, experience should come in for your senior players, and it should be right. Let's just get the fit in the ball. Don't let it in frantic. Don't let it become sort of this mental game. And that's what happened. It slipped. And then before you know it, we're backs to the wall and fucking shitting ourselves for the rest of the game. But listen, that's why we've went out and we've signed a new right back, because Ralston isn't the answer. And games like that will show that up. It's the reason we've actively went out. I don't know if the boy from Shamrock will be any good. I hope he is. I've seen a lot of the usual people are writing him off because of the league that he's came through, which is fucking nonsense. But that's why we're going out and try to sign players. And I trust that if Ange wanted him and we've got him, and that he'll hopefully be an improvement in the left-back situation. But the game itself, listen, it's like away from home in Europe. It's always going to be difficult. And well, Ange's done brilliant. He's not a miracle worker. But he's got us through the tie, which is the most important thing. We've been handed a tough group, which again we'll come on to, but the most important thing for me was the result, and we got it. But there was a lot shown in that team. Darn, just to get back to yourself, but for me it was, I don't know if that game will probably be an indicator to Ange, but for me, against teams like that, when it is a bit, they're going to have a lot more of the ball, they're the home team, they're a very, very good team. Humble and Rogic in the same midfield, I felt, hurt us quite a lot, because listen, the two of them don't have the best work rate, but to play the type of football that Ange wants to play, I felt as if too many times we were just getting overrun in there because McGregor was trying to do too much himself because the legs weren't next to him.
I completely agree with what you're saying about the midfield, but just to, like, I know quite often some people have had a go at us for saying that we all sing through the same hymn sheet and don't really, like, sort of argue against what each other's saying. I just think it's really harsh what you're saying about the defence, Andy. I know we spoke about it last night and the day off air, so I think we're as well doing it on there as well. I think to say the back four was rotten is extremely harsh. I think they made two massive errors in the first half, which nobody's disputing that. And as you say, they've already brought our right back in, so how long Ralston's in the team remains to be seen. But I just thought, for the most part, especially in the second half, I thought they defended very well. I thought they were winning most things in the air. They were throwing themselves in front of everything. And I know you don't want to be back to the wall against teams at any point, never mind for the sustained period that we were. But I just thought that I don't think I gave much credit to Alkmaar, because ultimately when Celtic come up against these better sort of opposition that they don't face week in, week out, then there is going to be times in games where we are. And look, obviously, I know for probably the first 60 minutes we were right up against it after we scored, but I thought they came right in here. Even guys like Starfelt, I've been quite critical of Starfelt on here. I thought he's had a pretty poor start to his Celtic career, but I thought second half he picked up. I thought Welsh again was, like, he's still an inexperienced guy, and it's going to, but he's going to make mistakes. But I just thought they sort of did redeem themselves a bit, and I think once they composed themselves, they were relatively unscathed. But I know I'd include Tartar in that back four, back five sort of combination as well. Just thought the save he made, especially the one just before half time, I thought was an excellent save, and then he made a good one in the second half as well. But no, I just wanted to say that, because I just think it's extremely harsh, especially when this is a lot doing with recruitment as well, and the pace that has gone at that hasn't helped. But the fact that 75% of our defence that finished last night has come through the academy, I thought they stood up very well to it. And although the top quality that's going to get us in the Champions League in seasons to come, it remains to be seen. I would fear for them against a better quality opposition. But I thought that Alkmaar were. I thought they were a decent team in both legs, and sort of when you're up against decent teams and you're going to have games like that when you're against backs against the wall.
I don't know. I don't think it's harsh to see it, because ultimately, you mentioned two Joe Hart saves there. Listen, they were tremendous saves, and for me, Joe Hart redeemed his mistake with the saves. And if not for him, and if it was one of the other two diddies that we've got, pretend they play as goalkeepers, then Alkmaar would have scored four and through the tie due to defensive errors. I thought Alkmaar were wasteful at times, and they did at times carve us up and carve us open a wee bit. And for me, they targeted the fullback areas to do that. In terms of, it was just the con, we do it all the time, and it's the setting balls and letting the ball bounce constantly. But even specifically for the way that we sort of now play the game and play football, as another defender, first and foremost, I've got to defend, but there's no air of calmness about them. It was just felt for me panicking, sheer panic, which I know they're young, and 100% I get that, but they had to just calm it down and kill the game a wee bit, just show that, listen, it's no stuff they don't know, because you see them do it against lesser opposition. You've seen the boys play in teams. They've been around for long enough. They've been coached by, do you know what I mean? Like, no oil them, but like, Starfelt came for a league that's better than my own in Russia. Ralston was about playing under Rodgers. Like, it's no stuff these guys haven't heard before. It's just for me, like, at times they need to, I don't know if it's the occasion or if it's just the thought in their head that they're playing a team that maybe, I don't know, maybe on paper they should be beating them. I don't know where it comes from, but it's just mental to watch at times, and that's when you want, I want my senior players to step up, and if they need to help them through the game, then do that. But as I said, the most important thing was what we came through, and I thought that Montgomery was brilliant when he came on. That, as far as I was aware, he obviously wasn't a left back, and he's sort of forming into that. And I mean, the last guy that we had who was a winger and he formed an left back was Calvin Miller. We all know how that went, but Montgomery's looked to just take it in his stride, and I wanted to obviously pick up on him and give him all the plaudits, because he deserved it to go into a game of that magnitude. That I think he's only 19-year-old, and especially when, listen, I think it was about the half an hour mark or something like that, he came on, maybe sort of 25 minutes, half an hour, he came on, and he's seen how the game was going as well. Bar that goal we scored at the start, it sort of became Celtic getting deeper and deeper, and he would have known that it's going to be sort of backs against the wall type stuff, and he came on and I thought he performed admirably considering his age. That was just something I wanted to pick up on as well. But Tony, we'll come to you, just your thoughts in the game and obviously what we've already spoke about.
I guess you can look at certain parts in isolation. Overall, really impressed that we managed to win the tie against Alkmaar, and I think the players and the management deserve credit for it, because I don't think that back line is a team that you would have expected to get into the Europa League, because it still needs a lot of work. So a lot of credit to them. I thought the two goals we lost were absolutely ridiculous. I thought Joe Hart was completely sleeping. I don't know what he was doing for that, why he's not coming out and just whacked it as hard as possible. Just dead stupid. And then Starfelt, he's kind of starting to look a bit like Shane Duffy, where every game he plays, he's bringing unwanted attention to himself. There was concerns, but we all knew they were there. We all knew that it was going to be a hard game. Postecoglou is never going to change his style of play. That's obvious. He's always going to play it for the back. And when it works, it's brilliant. When it doesn't, it's very frustrating. I think the board have let him down. I think he's qualified in spite of the board. I don't think the board have backed him the way they should have done. I think he needed Juranovic in quicker. He possibly needed Scales in quicker. And maybe somebody else. So I think he's done very well with the resources he's got. He could easily have fell to bits after Midtjylland and Hearts. We could have fell away, but he's bounced back well. No, obviously we get beat last night, but it doesn't really matter. We've qualified for the group stage, which is great. It would have been a brass neck to end up in the Conference League. So now it's a case of obviously kicking on and on to Sunday, and Scales has come in now. The Greek strikers apparently coming in. I don't know if Edwards going to go the other way. Aye, there's still defensive worries. I thought Callum McGregor was rotten. Thought he was really poor. I said that on the Twitter spaces we done last night. I thought he was miles off it, which was a shame. But I thought Christie was really good. I thought Edward changed the game. I thought Postecoglou's game management was good. And we seen out the tie quite comfortably in the end, barring that one sitter they missed. But I think if we were a bit better in attack, we would have scored as well, or scored more. Kyogo, miles ahead of everybody at times, I think. Just such a really good football player. I think you'll see that kind of goal a lot, in behind with Abada, and then just cutting that across for Kyogo to tap in. Delighted for him. Thought Abada got a bit lost, but high pressure game, he still gets his assist. And I guess the Kyogo goal is the one that wins the tie. So, as far as I know, we've got out of it any injuries, but a couple of weeks ago, the thought of getting AZ Alkmaar before we even played Jablonec, we were all saying, oh, well, we're beat. So, with the resources they had, I thought he'd done very well to beat a good AZ team. I think they'll probably go quite far in the conference if they play their full team.
You mentioned quite a bit there. Just one person that Tony did bring up that I like to highlight as well, because I thought he was very good when he came on, was the heavily speculated about odds on Edward. I know he didn't start the game, but I thought as much as Celtic were still under pressure, especially like the last 10 minutes, but I thought when Edward came off the bench, he sort of really gave the team an out ball and calmed things down a bit. And I'm not saying it was a pivotal moment in the tie, but it certainly helped having a guy like Edward being able to come off the bench last night.
100% actually. I did think that was a major moment for us, because like you say, it's somebody who he can hold the ball up, he can take that pressure off of the back line, and he did that. It provided that sort of calming presence up the top of the park, and that bit of respite for us, that really was much needed, and it showed sort of the impact and sort of one of the many aspects of his game. He never scored, he's a striker, but in some, you get the people who automatically think that means a striker can't have a good game. But what he did do was help see out the tie, and I thought it was a really good substitution by Ange. It was Rogic he came on for, but I definitely think it showed the value that he's got. And if, obviously, nobody knows what's going to happen with him, and we've been so linked, and I know the stories have come out in the last hour or so that it looks to be we've reached an agreement for the Greek guy, which we would all think means Eddie's away, but who knows, maybe the board have took some funny juice and that's Griffiths' replacement, who knows, we can only hope. But I think it showed the importance of him, and it's got to be putting him in contention to start for the game at the weekend, which of course we'll talk about, but it was a really good and a really important substitution I felt in the match.
Aye, definitely. We will come on to the draw now. So it was made this morning. Tony, I know we were speaking about last night who we would like in the draw. There was certainly more favourable teams that we could have got, but if you're going to want to go far in these competitions, then you're going to need to play against some good teams. And Celtic were drawn against Bayer Leverkusen, Real Betis, and our old foes Ferencvaros. It's, to be honest, a really tough group, and it's going to take some getting out of. I know previously we topped a group with like Lazio and Rennes in it, so I would never write us off, but it's a very tough group, just looking at it from the outset. What was your thoughts when you seen the draw this morning?
Well, the first one was obviously we get Leverkusen. Obviously, us four back when Leverkusen played Rangers. The full podcast kitty on Leverkusen minus a goal, and I think it was Kai Havertz to score and Leverkusen to win. Somebody said last night they wanted a go at Leverkusen. I says, did they? I think they're a really good team. I don't know how they are now, 18 months down the line, but they were very good when they played Rangers. So a team I did want to avoid. Obviously, we'll come up against Frimpong again, and we know that he's a very quick player, and he's a good player, I think, as well. So, but again, he's got his weaknesses that hopefully we can exploit. Real Betis back to Seville. A lot of people will be interested in that trip if it's able to go ahead. And then there's a bit of revenge for Ferencvaros. It would be great to beat them and show up how useless the last manager was. So I think we could get through. I think it'll be a really tough job. I think Leverkusen are probably odds on to top the group. And I think Betis will be the main contenders for second. And I guess Ferencvaros probably aren't any mugs of their Hungarian champions. So, but you just take who you get, and I'm looking forward to it. I'm hoping that we can get trips. I'd love to go to Germany, and I'd love to go to Seville as well.
I thought Lars would have got you banned from the entire EU after your last European trip with Celtic.
Fuck Lars and fuck Denmark. Fuck Copenhagen. Fuck Eddie Howe, I know.
Ah, fucking hell, right, that's always the motto for this season, I think. Danny, Tony's just spoke about it. We've got a team from the Bundesliga, a team from La Liga, and then a team that knocked us at the Champions League last season. So, to be blunt about it, it could have been easier. What was your thoughts when you seen the draw?
I wasn't surprised. We always seem to end up with a right tough group. It's meant to be the Europa League. It's meant to be second-tier competition, and yet we always seem to draw teams for the top five leagues. And it's probably the two worst nations to get teams for, because we know Spanish teams take Europa League really seriously. They see it as a way into the Champions League. They probably treat the European tournaments with more respect than anybody. And Leverkusen are a right good side, I know. I think they've got the boy Sheik up front that caused Scotland trouble. He seems to be coming right onto a game now. He scored a couple at the weekend, and it'll be two tough games, and then you'll get Ferencváros, but that'll be, we should put that right, hopefully. If we don't, then who knows what will happen. But it's a tough draw, and I was basically just, I was expecting it, but tougher than I would have liked. But like Tony says, you just need to take who you get and see how you go. I think it'll probably be the making of this team, this group stage, but we'll see what happens.
Tony, you got something you want to add?
I just seen on Twitter that, I don't know if you've mentioned this and I've not been paying attention, that Everton have sounded as out for Edward. Sky Sports News are reporting that they know, that apparently Everton are interested in signing Edward and they're currently the favourites.
But that'll be the Jacko Marcus deal then, going for a Celtic, making probably much change they'll get for Edward. He'll probably go
see,
to Everton.
See, the thing is, see if you've got new Everton, Ruben Kazan, and I think it was Bordeaux that was mentioned, so that you could sort of get up close to 20 million if you're going to have three teams going after them now, like Celtic. This is the time they need to just bounce clubs against each other and get a bit more on the go.
I'd hate to see him go. I thought he completely changed the game last night in our favour, and I thought he changed the game in our favour last week as well when he came on off the bench. And the Marys, I think him and Kyogo could link up really well going forward. And he looked quite hungry last night. He looked in the mood, and I'd be gutted to see him go.
I think most fans would be. This one, I think the thing is, Ange was spot on when he came out the other day and he says, just look at, like, he says in his press conference this morning that he doesn't know if Christie and Edward will still be there come Tuesday, but you could see, like, in their play and in their celebration, like, how they're no players of down tools by any means, and I think whatever happens now, Celtic fans are only going to turn against them, whether they stay or go. Like, it's going to be interesting. Just at this point, I'd like to throw in that we are doing a live Twitter space on Tuesday night as the transfer deadline day comes to an end. We will look at Celtic's ins and outs and any sort of last-minute deals and rumours that are going about. So be sure to join us over on our Twitter for that. Just go to twitter.com/podtims if you're wanting more information. But back to the Europa League draw, Andy. As was mentioned, it's not the same Leverkusen team that destroyed Rangers a few seasons ago. They've not got guys like Havertz or even Leon Bailey or Lars or Sven Bender, like, but it's still a very strong team, and it's a very strong group that we've been drawn in again.
It's a really difficult group, and I mean, they've not got Havertz, and Leon Bailey's obviously moved to the Premier League now, but I don't know if Danny already mentioned it, but they did just demolish Mönchengladbach 4-0 the other day, so I mean, it's, they're not a bad side. They're a fucking very, very good side who will be the favourites to top the group. I would be very surprised if they don't top the group. Obviously, Schick will be up front for them, who a lot of people who are interested in Scotland have obviously seen the damage that he caused us. I mean, and he had a very, very good Euros. They've got a lot of players who can cause you a lot of problems. And again, defensively, they're strong as well. Signed that backer for PSG. Like, Jonathan Tah has been there for a long time. And obviously, we know that Frimpong's their right back, and while some people felt he was a bit, wasn't always the strongest defensively, you know that he can cause you problems going forward. So they are automatically the favourites to win the group, and probably rightly so. And it's been said already, but these teams don't fuck about in these competitions. They don't look at it as the same arrogance you get with an English team, perhaps, who just try to see it as a lesser competition. That's not the same for them, and they'll be looking to win the group and obviously get themselves through to the next round as soon as possible. Betis, a team who they've always played good football. I know they signed Willian Jose for Real Sociedad, who's a big Brazilian striker who I think could cause problems. But I've always said that Celtic at home, I fancy us to have a go, and on your night, who knows? And again, Ferencváros, can I confess to knowing a lot about them, given that obviously it's that time passed since we've played them, so I don't know how different their team is looking. I think it was Young Boys that put them out the Champions League route, somebody we've come up against before. But you would still fancy them, obviously know their way about a European tie and probably they'll be looking at us fancying taking something off us. There's points to be won. It's a difficult group, but and I wish we could have some of that fucking Hunluck in these draws. I don't know how they consistently get easy routes. We spoke about this before. It's as if they fucking handpick their groups at times, but it is what it is. If you play to play in these competitions, you're going to need to play teams of this quality sooner or later. So you send them on. I'm looking forward to them. And as Tony said, hopefully get a couple of good trips out of, and a couple of good runs in the competition. And just ideally, say like our Andrew's back, say like he's back and we just improve. And I just know he's going to fancy it as well. He's going to look to be testing himself against these teams. And a lot of the players who... your Furuhashi's, your Abadas, it's their first taste of the official football in Europe. I feel like there's no qualifiers, no that. It's proper group stage football, and I'm sure they'll be relishing the chance to go and sort of pit themselves against these sides, and it's just a challenge that I'm sure they are, but I know I'm looking forward to.
I think we're all looking forward to it. We will preview it in more detail next month before the first match day, but that brings an end to the first part of this double header episodes that we're doing. So I thanks to Manscaped for supporting this podcast. Remember, you can go to manscaped.com and use the code TRIM4TIMS for 20% off and free shipping. Thanks to everybody who's doing that, and we will speak to you in the next episode. Thank you for listening.